96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is safe to say that America has not seen the likes of a president-elect Donald Trump in recent history. And as we draw closer to Inauguration Day, the press and politicians from both sides of the aisle continue to raise questions about his policies and his style. And we're talking about that tonight at our political roundtable. My guests are Dr. Niambi Carter. She is a Howard University political science professor, Jesse Holland, author and political reporter for the Associated Press, and Eugene Craig, vice chair of the Maryland Republican Party. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or find me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Let's first talk about the events of today on Capitol Hill, the intelligence hearing, all eyes on what was happening on the Hill. Dr. Carter, I'll ask you first. One of the things that I just find so fascinating is that President-elect Trump has tweeted about supporting Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, who is in exile in Russia, as opposed to supporting the 17 heads of the U.S. intelligence community. What's going on here?
I mean, I think this is part of his persona, right, which is he is not a person who is going to be cowed by the political community in Washington. I think the problem is it looks very much like you're not supporting the American people when you're doing this, right? And perhaps maybe deferring to your business interests and others that you may have with Russia. I think this is not a morale builder, and it's certainly not a trust creator when you're talking about the intelligence community, which is going to need to be integral to any kind of foreign policy you have moving forward. So, I mean, that's the best I can say about it so far.
Jesse, is this, in your opinion, do you think that this is just tactics of the moment where he is continuing to give pushback against what may appear to him to be a discrediting of his election, and that he may indeed turn coat again after the 20th of January?
What we've seen so far from President-elect Trump is that he seems to enjoy hitting back at anyone who gets in what seems to be to him his way, especially using Twitter. It's going to be interesting to see how that style of leadership translates in Washington when he officially becomes president. Keep in mind that he's still president-elect. Mm-hmm. He's not President Trump yet. He's President-elect Trump. Everything becomes different once you're sitting in the big chair. So it'll be interesting to see how he can continue this style of leadership once he becomes president and once he's actually responsible for all of the things that happened. Right now, if something went wrong, they could still say it's Obama's fault. Mm-hmm. But because he's not president yet. But once he's inaugurated, it'll be interesting to see if he still wants to keep up this style of leadership where you cast doubt on people whose job are to save American lives and protect American interests.
Eugene, from your perspective, as a part of the, you know, the local leadership of the GOP, explain the Trump optics that we have seen so far and what we could expect to see between now and January 20th. What's he doing?
Well, you know, you campaign one way and you govern another. And, you know, we're in a period of transition right now, a period of developing a government, you know, for the next 4 years, potentially 8 years. But, you know, one thing we're seeing is that, I mean, we're still seeing, you know, Trump still has Twitter fingers. But it's nowhere near what it was during the cycle. But I guess to speak to, you know, the hearings today, You know, one of the reasons that Trump has pushed back so much on the issue of Russia meddling in the election or Russian hacking is because largely Democrats have framed it in the style of or in the ethos of the Russian hacking being the reason he won, rather than it being a legitimate national security issue. You know, what you saw today was, you know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, you know, bring this back to, okay, this is a national security issue. And I'm interested to see, you know, how this further plays out.
But with that said, okay, if I think that we haven't seen at least recently any Democratic leadership talking about the legitimacy of his election. What they've been talking about, particularly as it relates to meddling in national security affairs, the things that a lot of Democrats and indeed, like you said, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Claire McCaskill of Missouri and others are concerned about, again, the optics of what Mr. Trump is saying about Assange and WikiLeaks and Russia being our friends. And from your perspective, you know, isn't that indeed, I was about to say crazy, but certainly beyond the pale. Can I suggest that? Because we do know that, you know, Russia is not an ally of the U.S.
Russia is no friend of ours. Russia is absolutely no friend of ours. One thing I think we're seeing is that, you know, this is interesting times. And interesting politics is making interesting bedfellows, right? Because, you know, the same folk, you know, on the right that are praising, you know, or have praised Julian Assange are the same folk that are calling for the head of Edward Snowden. And the same folk that, you know, think, you know, okay, Edward Snowden was, you know, okay, pretty cool dude, you know, now, you know, absolutely hate Julian Assange when they essentially did the same thing, maybe with Snowden probably, you know, being more on the right than Assange.
But I think it's more than that, too.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think part of the things that came up today in the hearings was that this isn't just, we don't know the effects of what this did to the election, right? We don't know the extent of it, whether this was in some way led to Hillary Clinton's downfall. I suspect it had something to do with it. It's not the only part of it. But I think the other issue was this about the spreading of fake news and disinformation, which was also part of that conversation that they had today. So yes, it's a security issue. But the other part of it is this larger conversation about what gets sort of blasted around and whether people have the ability to necessarily discern between what is a real news story and what's a fake news story. I mean, we saw what happened here at the pizza place not long ago because of a fake news story. So I think that's also needs to be part of this conversation. And I think it made its way into the hearing today.
And hold on,
Eugene. Go right ahead.
Let's be specific. James Clapper, the head of the director of national intelligence, said specifically today that Russian hacking did not change any vote tallies. So the person who theoretically knows more about it than anybody else has said Russian hacking did not physically change any votes in the United States. Now, the question of fake news is a whole nother portion of this conversation. But I think that the thing was sort of glossed over today a little bit, that the person in charge of knowing these things has specifically said that Russian hacking did not change any vote tallies in the election. Now, that doesn't mean it didn't change how people thought about the election.
And that's the point.
But
mm-hmm.
The actual physical hacking, did Russia come in and change a vote from Clinton to Trump?
Right.
They put that to bed today with the head of the DNI saying that didn't happen.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the political roundtable talking about the politics of President-elect Trump. If you have a comment or a question, certainly join the conversation at 202-319-7810. Let's also say James Clapper, who is, as you just mentioned, the Director of National Intelligence, he's no Johnny come lately. He has been doing this kind of work for 50 years. And I think that it is fascinating to me that the president-elect would talk about national security or intelligence failures, specifically talking about weapons of mass destruction and the like. Yes. Was that a national security failure? Yes. Did it send us to war for, you know, more than a decade, the longest war in U.S. history? Absolutely. But, you know, he failed to mention the finding of Osama bin Laden, which was certainly much more recent. And suffice it to say that U.S. intelligence may not be infallible, but certainly it is the best, still the best in the world.
Well, it just seems interesting to me that this is the fight you would pick to attempt to embarrass or demean the intelligence community right before you're sworn in as the commander in chief. I will admit that I personally don't understand that thought, especially considering two of the most conservative operations in Washington, D.C. is the military and the intelligence community.
And suffice to say,
natural allies of his.
And the intelligence community is supposed to be, you know, not nonpartisan, but non-political.
Non-political, exactly. Same with the military. So you would think that this would, out of anyone I wouldn't want as an enemy in Washington, D.C., the intelligence and the military would be on the top two on that list.
Yeah, that's right. The people that don't hide behind bushes but look like bushes until it's too late. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about President-elect Trump, politics, policies, and news. Renee, calling from Northern Virginia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just curious to get an opinion from you all as to why the president-elect has not had any sort of, you know, extensive comment about all of this that is happening, like the tweets. I know social media is the popular thing right now, but he comes across as though outside of who cares, you know, the election is over, but like the people, we want to know, like, what are some of his, you know, next moves or his thoughts about all that you all are discussing today? Like, we can't get an intelligible response outside of the tweets. And I think it's a little offensive to Americans to not understand what his perspective is.
Eugene, you want to tackle that first?
Could you repeat a question for me?
She wants to know why we haven't heard from the president-elect in more than a few comments or tweets. In other words, he's not held a press conference. He's only held rallies. And she wants to know if he's going to be in the White House. So what does he have to say?
Well, the thing is this. There's such a thing as a very, very, very strictly controlled message, which is probably something that, you know, we're not necessarily used to from a Donald Trump. You know, but that's what's going on right now. They're controlling the message, they're controlling the narrative. And, you know, what's different is that, you know, actually during the cycle, he actually did hold, press conferences when Hillary Clinton wasn't.
Yeah, but we're talking about now. We're talking about since November, since the election.
We'll have a press conference next week.
Okay, but he was supposed to have one yesterday, or maybe it was today, or maybe it was the day before yesterday, about, you know, that he was supposed to talk about the things that he knew more than the intelligence community. And he was also supposed to have a press conference 2 weeks ago, approximately, right around the Christmas holidays, that was also canceled. So this is the second cancellation in less than 30 days.
And I think there's a difference between
Hold on. Go ahead, Dr. Carter.
I think there's a difference between a tightly controlled message and no message at all. I think what Renee is speaking to is a sensibility that we're still in the dark and we don't know what's coming next. I do think there have been some trickles of what that's going to be in terms of their plans around Planned Parenthood and perhaps repeal of the Affordable Care Act, either in part or in total. But there hasn't been at least a clear suggestion of what's going on. And I'm sorry, Twitter is not a policy, right? Tweets are not policy.
I need to take a break, but if you're on the line, please stay with us. We will be taking your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will continue our conversation on President-elect Trump policies and style? Join the conversation if you can. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your calls in